As we began discussing this morning, we were talking about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And so we're going to get to whether or not he was actually buried right now this evening. It's our next part of our study. As we can see, the burial place was a matter of public record. Joseph of Arimathea made it a public matter to go and to talk with Pilate about wanting the body of Jesus. He didn't do that in private. He made it of public notice of going there before Pilate. Everybody could have known that he was going. It wasn't anything that was really hidden. We know that the tomb belonged to him. We're told that in Matthew chapter 27, 57 to 58. No one before had ever been buried in that tomb. Joseph went and he begged the body of Christ, took him to that. It was one that had been dug out for him. And it's going to be easy. It would have been rather easy for people to confirm Joseph's name, his residence. We know his name, of course, Joseph. His residence, he lived in Arimathea. He was of the office of the Sanhedrin. We know that he purchased the burial cloth. He purchased that tomb. He had at a specified location. We know of his association with Nicodemus, John 19 and verse 39. And we know that Joseph visited Pilate. We can know all of these things. And the people of that time could know all of those things. And so in answer to the question of Jesus really being buried, one of the things we must ask is about Joseph of Arimathea. And all of these things can be confirmed. See, people at that time could have checked those facts. Some other facts they could have checked as well is whether or not Jesus was actually seen. You see, in Acts 1 and verse 3, he showed himself to the disciples. He presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs. You see, the King James here also says many infallible proofs. They could not be disproven. Think about Jesus showing himself to all these people. And it was not in secret. Acts 26 and verse 26, this was not done in a corner. Jesus did nothing in secret. He did not preach in secret. He did not rise from the dead and then go about privately. He went and showed himself to his disciples. These things were not done in a corner. They weren't done in secret. Notice the extreme lengths that the Jewish leaders went to protect the tomb. What all they did, they visited a Gentile who was Pilate in an unclean place on a holy day, the Sabbath, the Passover, to request a guard. Matthew 27, 62 to 66. How about that? They had illegally arrested Jesus. They had illegally put him on trial. They had illegally put him to death. And now, against the law of Moses, they are illegally going to see a Gentile in an unclean place on a holy day. These were Jewish leaders. These were men that knew the law inside and out. They didn't care. They wanted this upstart religion done away with from the very outset. They wanted to be sure that Jesus stayed dead. And so they went to request the guard. Pilate granted the request. He sent the guards out there. They were put at the tomb. They even went so far as to set the stone and seal it, so they would know whether or not it was tampered with. So it would be harder to move as well. Friends, why request a guard? And why seal a tomb for someone who is not dead and buried? Why do that? Why take the time? Why put yourself through that? Why break your own law for someone that's not dead and buried? They were afraid that someone might come and steal the body. You see, their key claim concerning the empty tomb was that Jesus died, but the body was missing when the women arrived. This is a key claim concerning some skeptics concerning the rising of Jesus. Jesus died, but the body was missing when the women arrived, as we see in Matthew 28, 1 through 2, Luke 24, 1 through 7. And you see, it's the empty tomb that presents the greatest challenge to skeptics. They want to know, or they try to tell, give different explanations as for why the body was not where it was supposed to be. Here are some common claims concerning that. Some will say that perhaps the disciples only saw Christ through the eyes of faith. They had a vision. Some will even go so far as to say they hallucinated that Jesus Christ stood before them, that He walked with them, that He talked with them. Well, friends, think of the absurdity of that claim. Think about what would have had to happen here. Several folks would have had to have the same hallucination, the same vision at the very same time. Paul tells of over 500 disciples seeing the Christ at once. How do you explain that? 500 people had the same vision, the same hallucination at the same time concerning Christ? That presents a major problem. Some say perhaps Mary went to the wrong tomb. You know, we talked about this morning, Mary having seen Jesus and believing for just a moment that He was a gardener. They say she saw a real gardener, not Jesus, who told her that the body was not in the tomb, John 20 and verse 15. But then they go on to say, well, she turned and left before the gardener could add, well, He's over in that other tomb. That doesn't make sense. Simply for another fact, that the disciples were hardly confused about the location of the tomb. Well, Mary went and told the disciples, where did John and Peter go immediately? They both went to the same tomb. The one that was already open. They didn't go running to a different tomb than Mary had visited. They weren't confused about the location of Jesus' body. They knew exactly where to go. And yet they found the tomb empty. They had no trouble finding it. If Mary had reported that the tomb was empty when it really wasn't, John and Peter could have easily pointed her in the right direction. There need not be no confusion concerning the matter. They could have corrected it right then. So to refute the disciples, all the authorities would have had to do is produce a body. But we see the Jewish leaders doing what? When the guards came, they told them their story. Jewish leaders told them to tell a lie. Say you fell asleep. And while you slept, His disciples came and stole His body. And that story began to be reported throughout the region. Friends, but it was a lie. If that were the case, don't you think eventually the body might have turned up? They would have been able to produce it. But we see Peter in Acts chapter 2 comparing Christ's empty tomb to David's not so empty tomb. Friends, this is too easy to check. They concocted a story concerning the disciples stealing His body. See, the disciples didn't expect Jesus to die. They didn't fully understand His purpose upon this earth. They didn't comprehend until Jesus rose from the grave. And so after He died, because they didn't expect Him to die, we know that they didn't expect His resurrection. We see the surprise of the disciples. Hence, why did they go running to the tomb? They couldn't be sure that Mary had not been mistaken. They needed to see for themselves. And so they go running to the tomb. Peter steps inside, and what's he find? It's empty. There's no one there. Nobody. But the burial clothes neatly folded upon the place where he rested. Sure, Jesus had told them that He would return. John 13, 33 to 36. John 16, 16 to 20. And John 20 and verse 9. But friends, we look at the disciples, and from their actions, from their response, we see that they either did not understand or they simply did not believe. They didn't fully comprehend what was taking place. So why steal the body or concoct a story about the tomb being empty. It's not going to happen. We'll take that one step further. If they stole the body, and Jesus really died, but he never came back from the dead, why were they dying for that cause? Which one of you here tonight would put your life on the line for something you knew to be a lie? You knew was not real. No, I wouldn't. I very seriously doubt that you would. And yet we find the disciples, the apostles, dying because they honestly believed that Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected. They saw Jesus with their own eyes. The disciples had a genuine experience. There could be no doubt whatsoever in their minds that they really saw the risen Christ. So question, was Jesus raised? Did he really rise from the grave? Let's look at our options. Number one. Our first option is that Jesus did not die at Golgotha in A.D. 33. The tomb was empty, but Christ had only fainted, and he later died of natural causes, but was not raised. How do you like that option? You see, one thing that sets Christianity apart from all other religions is, friends, that we serve a risen Savior. But if Christ did not rise from the dead and he is still buried, his body lies rotting in a tomb, then what are we doing? Who do we serve but a fraud and a liar? Option number two. Jesus died, but he stayed in the tomb. In order to believe this, we have to believe the disciples went to the wrong tomb. They only thought he was raised. They were able to see Jesus through the eyes of faith, so to speak. In other words, it was just a hallucination. Just some kind of vision that they saw. They only thought that they saw him, or maybe they just mistook someone else for Jesus Christ. As we said this morning, someone that had the same appearance, the same holes in his wrist, the same holes in his feet, the same hole in his side. Sounds pretty unlikely to me. The next option is that Jesus died and his tomb was empty, but the body had simply been removed. In other words, the disciples had simply stolen his body, or maybe the authorities had stolen his body. They knew how famous Jesus was, and just maybe they could, I don't know, make some money on his death. What else were they going to do with the body? And if the authorities had stolen the body, why not just produce it? Or another option concerning that particular one is that Joseph of Arimathea stole the body. He put it where no one else could find it. Why do that? Why go through that? Why serve a Savior that you knew was dead? And our final option is that Jesus died. We discussed that this morning. Is there any doubt that he died? Could a man survive what Jesus went through? The answer is no. No way. As we said this morning, everything that he had gone through, the exhaustion, the physical abuse, and the crucifixion, even before going to the cross, medical scientists have said that Jesus would have been put in intensive care, under care for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and still the chances are very slim that he ever would have pulled through. And then, after all of that, they put him up on the cross, something that was designed to make the victim suffer and ultimately die. Friends, you did not survive a crucifixion. It didn't happen. It was designed to kill. Jesus didn't survive that. Especially with a spear stuck in his side, piercing through even into the heart. Even after all the blood that he had lost. Was he buried? Absolutely. It's too easy to identify that he was buried. Joseph of Arimathea put him in his own tomb. Those facts are easily checked by anyone of that day and time. And so was he raised again the third day? That's our last option. Friends, there's no evidence in Scripture whatsoever against this conclusion. There's no evidence whatsoever in extra-biblical literature against this conclusion. We simply have critics from the outside saying, well, you know, it just didn't happen. Friends, they can't prove that. All the evidence that we have says that Jesus died, that Jesus was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day. How do you refute that evidence? You can't. Especially when we consider this next question. Did anybody see the resurrected Christ? Jesus appeared on 12 occasions to several hundred people over a period of 2 months. How do you explain that? If you're a skeptic, you can't. You can't explain away his appearances on those 12 different occasions to several hundred different people over a period of 2 different months. You can't explain it. These appearances are used as evidence by the apostles. Peter's sermon in Jerusalem in Acts 2, 29-32. Paul's sermon in Antioch, Acts 13, 29-31. Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 15. They use the evidence of Jesus being seen by several different people. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19, he says that they were seen of 500 different people. And verse 19 there says, if he did not rise, friends, if he did not die, if he was not buried and did not rise again the third day, notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. If only in this life, Paul says, we serve the Christ. You see, the Corinthians were doubting the resurrection. They were doubting their own bodily resurrection. They were doubting the resurrection of Christ. So Paul makes a point here. If only in this life we serve Christ, we are of all men most miserable or pitiable. Think about those words. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, my friend, we have no hope of rising either. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, friend, then, as some people would say, and as I've heard one preacher say, we're just like Rover and we're dead all over. We have no hope of resurrection. Friends, without the resurrection, how in the world did all these people, these several hundred people, see Jesus if he did not truly rise from the dead? You see, all the evidence says that he was risen. The empty tomb, the witnesses seeing him. And so what does that imply for our faith? What does that show? Friends, it shows that Jesus was exactly who he said that he was. Romans 1 and verse 4. It shows that the resurrection, friends, is an essential part of our belief. As we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 12-19. The resurrection models our own spiritual transformation in Christ. Romans 6, 1-10, the first few verses there, specifically 3 and 4. Shows that picture of baptism. The old man dying to sin, the old man being buried in baptism, and then rising again as Christ rose to walk in newness of life. The resurrection, friends, is necessary for our own bodily resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 50-55. And friends, the resurrection is the reason for our hope of eternal life. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. You see, friends, without the resurrection, we have no hope. None. Without the resurrection, everything that Jesus suffered, as we talked about this morning, meant nothing. He simply suffered. He simply died upon the cross, and He still lies in the tomb. Without the resurrection, friends, we know that Jesus is not the Son of God if He did not rise from the dead. If He did not rise, friends, we are of all men, as we said, most miserable. We deserve pity if He did not rise. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. Let's be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Did Jesus have to die? As we studied this morning, friends, there's no doubt that He had to die. The perfect man had sinned in the garden. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away the sin of the world, and so the only solution was that a perfect man live upon this earth, live sinlessly perfect, and be put to death and shed His blood for the remission of sins. It was the only solution. The Old Testament prophets prophesied of such. David and Zechariah and others. They even foretold of the manner of His death. Jesus Himself said that He had to die. And knew that He was going to die. He knew His purpose upon this earth. And so did He die. There's no doubt. No human could withstand the physical punishment that He endured and survived. Not going to happen. No doubt in my mind that He died. There's no evidence to support a different conclusion. Was Jesus buried? Absolutely. Those facts are too easily checked upon. Did He rise again the third day? All the evidence says so. And if I'm a logical human being, and the evidence points me in that direction, and there's no evidence to the contrary, friends, He rose again the third day. Because if He didn't, and what hope do we have? Rather than serving a risen Savior, friends, we serve one that's dead and buried. That's not the Savior that I serve. Did anyone see the resurrected Christ? Several hundred people did. We have eyewitness accounts that tell us of seeing Jesus walk again upon this earth. We even have eyewitness accounts. As we sang this morning in the song, "We Saw Thee Not," we didn't see Him personally ascend into heaven. But friends, we believe that human eyes watched that journey, as the song says, to the skies. They saw Him. There can be no doubt. And so what are the implications for our faith? Friends, if Christ did not rise from the dead, He is not who He said that He was, but He's a fraud. He's a liar. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, friends, then an essential belief of the Christian religion crumbles. And if that crumbles, everything else goes out the window as well. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, friends, then we have really no model for our own spiritual transformation in Christ. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then you and I are going to be left in the grave as well. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, my friend, then we have no hope of eternal life. Jesus had to die. He did die. He was buried. And He he rose again the third day. There can be no doubt as to those facts. So friend, our question for you this evening is, have you ever obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you believe He is indeed who He said that He was? That He was 100% man, that He lived a perfect life, that He died upon the cross for the remission of your sins? Do you acknowledge Him as the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sin? Luke 13 and verse 3. Are you willing then to confess Him before men so that He will confess you before His Father in heaven? Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Are you willing then, my friend, to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins? Would you do those things this evening? Would you put Christ on in baptism as we read in Romans chapter 6, to arise again, to walk in newness of life? Friends, are you here tonight having done those things? Have you let sin back into your life? Have you fallen away? Would you come home? Would you be His again? Walking hand in hand with Him to remain faithful evermore? Friends, if you have a need, would you come? Would you be His now as we stand and as we sing?